Heralds of Hope Incorporated presents Hope for Today. Hello, friend, and welcome to Hope for Today. I'm J. Mark Horst, your friend and Bible teacher. The program you're listening to is produced by Heralds of Hope, an international gospel radio and literature ministry. Each week, the Bible teaching broadcasts of Heralds of Hope circle the globe in English and now 16 other languages. And our Bible teaching programs in several different languages are available all the time and anytime at the website twr360.org. That's twr360.org. Thousands are logging onto the site for spiritual nourishment and blessing. We invite you to join them so you can be blessed too. For the past several weeks on Hope for Today, we've been studying from Daniel chapter 8. And the title of our study is Kingdoms in Succession. Daniel's vision in this chapter focuses on the kingdoms of Medo-Persia and Greece. We trace the rise and fall of these empires and the little horn that Daniel saw arise out of the ruins of the Greek Empire. We learned that that little horn became very powerful, but also that the end of his rule was spelled out in our text. Now, as we conclude our study, I will read from the text, Daniel chapter 8 and verses 15 to 27. Now, as he was speaking with me, I was in a deep sleep with my face to the ground, but he touched me and stood me upright and said, "Look, I am making known to you what shall happen in the latter time of the indignation, for at the appointed time the end shall be. The ram which you saw having the two horns, they are the kings of Media and Persia, and the male goat is the kingdom of Greece. The large horn that is between its eyes is the first king. As for the broken horn and the four that stood up in its place, four kingdoms shall arise out of that nation, but not with its power. And in the latter time of their kingdom, when the transgressors have reached their fullness, a king shall arise, having fierce features, who understands sinister schemes. His power shall be mighty, but not by his own power. He shall destroy fearfully, and shall prosper and thrive. He shall destroy the mighty, and also the holy people. Through his cunning, he shall cause deceit to prosper under his rule, and he shall exalt himself in his heart. He shall destroy many in their prosperity. He shall even rise against the prince of princes, but he shall be broken without human means. And the vision of the evenings and mornings which was told is true. Therefore, seal up the vision, for it refers to many days in the future. And I, Daniel, fainted and was sick 4 days. Afterward, I arose and went about the king's business. I was astonished by the vision, but no one understood it." Now notice in verses 20 through 22 that Gabriel mentions the kingdoms as we've already identified them. The ram is Medo-Persia, and the he-goat is Greece. He also mentions the great horn, Alexander, being broken and four horns coming up in his place. We identified these kingdoms earlier in this teaching. And then out of the four, one comes up from the Seleucid dynasty, who is Antiochus Epiphanes. Let's notice what Gabriel says next, and here there are some challenging things to understand. Bible scholars disagree on how to interpret this chapter, especially the second half of it. Some see the prophecy completely fulfilled in the person and the times of Antiochus Epiphanes. Others say the whole chapter has a dual fulfillment. Still others say that the first 14 verses have been historically fulfilled, and I think we can agree on that. But they go on to say that the latter part of the chapter has a dual fulfillment, that is, a partial fulfillment in Antiochus, but also a fuller fulfillment in the Antichrist who is yet to come. This is the view I personally find to make the most sense with the context and with other scriptures. Verses 23 to 26 describe the characteristics of this individual who is pictured prophetically. First, he will appear in the latter time of their kingdom, that is, the four kingdoms of verse 22. Second, he will appear when the transgressors have reached their fullness. Next, he will be a king with fierce features who understands sinister schemes. He will possess great power, but it will be power from an outside source. He will also be extraordinarily destructive in his exploits, because in his power he destroys Israel and the mighty and holy people. Under his cunning leadership, deceptive policies will be proposed and advanced. Furthermore, he will exalt himself. Remember, that's what Antiochus did. And by means of a false peace, he will destroy many people. He will even revolt against the prince of princes, yet in the end, he will be broken without human means. Now, Antiochus did not die on the battlefield or at the hand of an assassin. Instead, he died of a foul disease. Now notice verse 26. And the vision of the evenings and mornings which was told is true. Therefore seal up the vision, for it refers to many days in the future. Gabriel assures Daniel that the vision is true, but the understanding of the vision shall be delayed for many days, as well as its fulfillment. In looking at these various elements of the vision, we can see their historical fulfillment in the person and the reign of Antiochus Epiphanes. But there are a couple of phrases that seem to suggest something beyond that time. One of those phrases is, in the latter time of their kingdom. Antiochus did arise in the latter time of the Syrian kingdom. A second statement is, he shall stand up against the prince of princes. This is most likely a reference to Jesus the Messiah, but he wouldn't appear on the world scene until more than 150 years later from Antiochus. But we know that Antiochus did stand against the God of Israel and against the Messianic hope. But the terms the end in verse 17 and the last end of the indignation in verse 19 are difficult for us to harmonize with the times of Antiochus. John Wolford says, these are hard to understand as relating to Antiochus in view of the larger picture of Daniel chapter 7, which concludes with the second advent of Christ. One writer points out that Antiochus did not live in the latter times of the old Grecian Empire. He died more than 100 years before it finally ended. His solution to this discrepancy is that the four kingdoms Daniel mentioned will also have a latter time. In other words, they will be represented territorially in the last days of the times of the Gentiles. So while there are many details here in this text that fit the time of Antiochus, there are others that seem to clearly foreshadow a future person. That future person will embody many of the same characteristics of Antiochus, but his reign will be different because it will be worldwide in scope. This future leader will also, according to Scripture, be broken without human means when he's defeated at the second coming of Jesus Christ. So we have here a classic double fulfillment of a prophetic portion of Scripture. Gabriel made it very clear to Daniel that the vision will not become immediately understandable to him, and its fulfillment will take a long time in coming. Now the result of Daniel's vision, which must have been an informational and emotional overload, was he fainted. This was more than just a normal faint, if there is such a thing, because the text says he was sick for many days after this experience. Daniel was astonished at the vision, and no one, including himself, understood it. You know, I can imagine him reliving this experience again and again and again and trying to figure out what it meant. Recall with me that previously, Daniel had been given understanding in dreams and visions, even to the point of interpretation. But here, he becomes the recorder of the vision only. It seems to me that the reason for the recording of this vision is for the benefit of future generations. Looking back over this 8th chapter of Daniel reveals the emphasis on prophecy as it relates to Israel during the times of the Gentiles. While this wasn't and isn't entirely a time of persecution for Israel, they have experienced great trials and suffering throughout the millennia. Of the four great world empires that Daniel saw in his visions, only Persia was relatively kind to the Jewish people. And Jesus himself characterized the times of the Gentiles in Luke chapter 21 by the treading down of Jerusalem and the persecution of God's ancient, chosen, earthly people. You know, if this chapter tells us nothing else, it tells us that God is absolutely in control of human history. He knows the end from the beginning. This chapter also shows us the incredible accuracy of God's word, down to the smallest detail. God has a plan for human history, and he has a plan for each human life, including yours. You and I have two choices. We can discover and follow his plan, or we can chart our own course through life. The one choice leads to eternal life, and the other to eternal death. We must decide. Now I know, there are people who scoff at this whole idea of Christ's second coming. There were people like that during the time of the Apostle Peter, when he was writing his letters to the early church. He wrote, "Scoffers will come in the last days, walking according to their own lusts, and saying, 'Where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation.' But, beloved, do not forget this one thing, that with the Lord, one day is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance." The kingdom of Christ is coming. Will you be a part of it? My friend, were you blessed by the teaching on today's broadcast? If so, you can request an audio CD or a printed copy of this complete teaching by writing and requesting it by its title, Kingdoms in Succession. Now, the quickest way for you to contact me is to send an email to mail@heraldsofhope.org, or you may write to Hope for Today, Box 3, Breezewood, Pennsylvania, 15533. Remember, you can request a printed manuscript or an audio CD of this teaching, Kingdoms in Succession. I'd be happy to send one to you. Once again, the quickest way for you to contact me is to send an email to mail@heraldsofhope.org or write to Hope for Today, Box 3, Breezewood, Pennsylvania, 15533. And remember, you can request a free copy of this teaching, Kingdoms in Succession. It's available either in print or on an audio CD. And don't forget, our Bible teaching programs are available to you all the time and anytime at the website, twr360.org. Thousands are logging onto the site for spiritual nourishment and blessing. You can join them and be blessed too. Now, friend, I urge you to tune in next week as we continue our study. And until then, keep looking for that blessed hope.